As we look to the Word of God, a few weeks ago in Sunday school, we were talking about the side subject of forgiveness, and the question was asked of the young men, what has happened in their life where they've had to extend forgiveness to someone? And they mentioned things that were stolen from them, how someone mistreated them in one way or another. But one of the young men said something that surprised me. He said, "My girlfriend, she was two-timing me." And for those of us who understand that, yes, and if we can get past the first of all, he doesn't need a girlfriend, right? But if we can get past that, we understand to two-time someone means that if my affections are to be for one person, I am engaged to this person, and I give my affections or I share those affections wrongly with someone else, or in a marriage relationship, for a husband to share his affection with someone other than his wife, that is to two-time her, and that is wrong. Because what is being said in such a case, right, is in a relationship that should be sacred, in a relationship that should be special, in a relationship that should be inviolable, I'm saying it is not special to me. I am saying that you are not special. And I'm not just saying it in my own heart. I'm saying it to the person, but I also say it to the public. I say that this relationship is not special. This person is not special. And today, as we share out of Leviticus, the 22nd chapter, God, through Moses, is speaking to the sons of Aaron, who are the priests. And these priests have been set aside specifically, and they are to minister the things of God. They are to minister about the hallowed things, the things that the people have dedicated to the Lord to be used in the service of God, to be used in offering the sacrifices of God. They are to minister about these things, and then some of these offerings, some of these sacrifices, if you will, depending on the type of sacrifice, became food for the priests. And God, through Moses, is saying to them, he's saying, ensure that as you minister about these things, as you go before God, as you go ministering unto the holy with the holy things, make sure you do not profane my name. Do not treat my name as if it is not less than holy. Don't profane it. Don't defile. Don't desecrate. Do not make my name common. Ensure that you do not do this. And he shares some ways in which they do this. But as we go to this morning's message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, again, we do thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, that you've called each of us, Lord. O God, as priests, Lord, as servants of yours, Lord, to introduce you to the world. That you, Lord, have sanctified us. That you, Lord, have set us apart. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts here very clearly, Lord, out of your word. We pray, Father, that you would give, Lord, what is needed. Conviction, Lord. Encouragement, Lord. Oh, God, that your word, Lord, would be heard. Oh, Lord, it would be applied, Lord, to our lives. And, Lord, that we would bear fruit, Lord, in your name. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Again, the priests were told that they were not to profane the name of God by treating really his name, and by coming as they offer sacrifices, as they minister about the holy things, by approaching it any kind of way. But they were to approach it as it is, and that is, it's holy. And in the same way, each of us who has been called by God, everyone in here, from the youngest child to the oldest adult, if I have given my life to God, I've given my life to God, and He has a purpose for me. There's a call for me, and that call is to minister. And if I am going to be effective at ministering before God, I must first understand, I must first realize that He is holy. Again, in that verse where He says, they are not to profane my name, He ends that verse, verse 2, by saying very clearly, I am the Lord. I'm God. Do you understand who I am? And so, as I share from this message, really, and if you need a title, Making God Common. Making God Common. We begin, really, by sharing this first point, and that is the hazard of uncleanness. The hazard of uncleanness. You see, the way that they were not, the specific way they were not to make God common or to profane God's name begins in verse 3. He says, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generation that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And so, as we look at this hazard of uncleanness, the first issue really is bearing uncleanness. And that's bearing uncleanness before God. That bearing that uncleanness. And there are some people who think that anyone can minister the truth of God's word, and they allow or anybody can serve in other aspects of ministry, whether it be giving announcements, whether it be driving a bus, whatever it is, they think that anyone qualifies. But first of all, a person has to be saved, just as, if you will, in the scriptures, when you talk about leprosy, it was a disease. It was a very loathsome disease, a dreaded disease, a disease that would cause them to be deformed, would cause them to lose extremities, would cause the flesh to turn, the skin on their flesh to turn colors. And God is saying, just as the priest could not minister before me in that condition, neither can someone, as leprosy so often in Scripture is used to represent sin, neither can someone who is outside of the fellowship of God, neither can someone who doesn't know God, neither can someone who is an unconverted sinner be used to minister the things of God. But not just that. When I come as a bus captain, when I come as a teacher, when I come as a helper, I must understand that as I minister for God, this is a holy thing that I'm doing. I'm serving a holy God. He's the Lord. And as I approach ministry, I cannot approach it in a casual way. I cannot discount, right, my sin. You see, God says, again, in this third verse, He says, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. And how can I hope to minister for God without the presence of God? How can I hope to minister for God in my own strength? What do I have to offer? What am I bringing? And so, if I'm going to serve God, yes, I must be saved, but yes, also, I must be living a righteous life if I'm going to be effective in ministering to the things of God, in ministering the Word of God, in sharing the gospel of God, in reaching others with the truth of God, in making disciples of men. I must understand the holiness of God, and I must walk in that holiness. So bearing, if you will, their uncleanness, but there's so being or bearing uncleanness and then being unclean themselves by being not saved or being or walking in sin. So, but in addition to bearing their uncleanness before God and being unclean, we also could become unclean. Become unclean. The other hazard is becoming unclean. And it's easier to become unclean than you think it is. You see, usually I think, right, in terms of my sin and the things that I do. But also, if you look again at these verses, in beginning at verse 4, he adds in the middle of that verse, after he says, or in the middle of it, he says, and whoso toucheth, right? Whoso toucheth. Anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such thing shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. And so the priest could also be made unclean and unfit for service, to be used in service, by becoming unclean, by touching anything that was unclean. If someone had leprosy or some other disease where there was a issue of blood or body fluids, and the priest touched that person or came too near that person, then they would be unclean. That uncleanness would pass on to them. It's interesting, my friends, in hospitals. In hospitals, that they tell you, they teach you, train you to wash your hands frequently. And before you see a patient, before you take blood or whatever you're going to do, or specimens, you wash your hands. And after washing your hands, you put on gloves. And then once you get done with the service, as you take the gloves off, you wash your hands again. They say it is the best method to prevent the spread of disease. And they teach you about blood-borne pathogens, wanting to protect you from getting sick, from having passed on to you the diseases or sickness of others. And in the same way, you and I, as we live, as we go about our business day to day, right? We come into contact with people who don't know God, and their attitudes, their philosophies, their actions, their words, as we hear and we see and as we experience them, we are definitely impacted. And anyone who thinks he or she is not is fooling himself. We're impacted. Hear me now. Not just that. Because sometimes we think, I'm a decent person. I'm good. But I can be made unclean by my own heart. Some of us trust in our heart that I'm good, that I'm clean. But the Lord says of my heart, what? It is deceitful and desperately wicked. So in just consulting with myself, I can become unclean. And God is holy. And if I want to minister for God, if I want to minister about holy things, I want to be careful to keep myself clean. I want to be careful that I have the heart and the attitude that God is not common. I don't want to profane his name. I want to approach his word, his truth, his service. I want to approach ministry as something that is hallowed, as something that is holy, as something that is special. I have a very special calling on me as simply a child of God. I don't have to be a preacher. I don't have to be a pastor. I don't have to have any office in the church. I am a child of God. I am called to minister. I am called to minister about holy things. I want to keep myself clean. A holy God deserves that kind of reverence. There is this hazard of uncleanness, this hazard of uncleanness that caused us to profane the name of God, this hazard of uncleanness that caused us to make His name common. But then, yet, there is a hope. There is a hope, there is a help, and there is a hope really for the health of man. There's a hope for our cleansing. And as we look at that hope, really it is in Him, it is in Christ, it is in God. There is no hope in me. I cannot, if you will, clean myself. When you think about this sin of leprosy, or this disease rather of leprosy, a person could not cure themselves. But yet the Lord said, after they were cured, after they were made clean or cured by Him, then they would wash themselves. And so the first thing really, the hope for the priest was, after being cured by God, or then to cleansed by Him, would be to bathe themselves or wash themselves with water, to take a literal physical bath. And think about it. If you're in the hospital and you go through some kind of a treatment or procedure or surgery, they don't just close you up and then send you on your way. They cleanse you. They clean you. They wash you. And then they place you in a sterile environment so that hopefully, if all goes well, that you're not infected because of some bacteria or some germ, or you're not impacted by some other disease organism and so become sick again, or even take on a worse disease. And so they were to wash themselves with water. And you see, for the person who doesn't know the Lord, in order to minister before the Lord and in order to really minister in His holy things, we must be washed. But it's a washing by the blood of the Lamb. We must be washed with His blood. Only His blood can cleanse us from what? From sin. The only cure, the only way to salvation is through Christ. And it is because of His what? Because of His shed blood. Because He died on the cross for my sin, I don't have to suffer eternal death. And so, to free me from this cure of my spiritual leprosy, which is sin, I need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, just as the priests were needed to be washed with water. But secondly, I need, guess what? You know, there's a term, right? Once saved, always saved, right? And there's truth to that, right? It is very true. When God saves us, He saves us eternally. When He saves us, He saves us forever. He delivers us from eternal death and gives us eternal life. However, once clean, always clean. Not so. Think about it. Kids, as you go out to play, you come in, it's time for dinner. You're ready to go straight from outside to the dinner table. And you come in and you're filthy and you're dirty. Mom says what? Go wash your hands. Don't come to the table with that filth. And in some cases, right, not just wash your hands, but you're filthy. Get a bath. And so for us, we need a daily cleansing. We have to realize that just as I live day by day, I go to work. I work with people who don't know the Lord. I'm impacted by their conversations. And I will tell you, sometimes those conversations are not holy. I'm impacted by their philosophies. Their, if you will, their truth. their sin. And if I'm not careful, their sin becomes a part of me. I take on their sin. I take on their lies. I begin to believe as they believe. I begin to do as they do, to operate as they operate. Think about it. And kids, if your parents have ever said to you, I don't want you hanging out with that young man or with that young lady. I don't want you going to her house. Understand, there's a reason. I don't want you taking on their sin. I don't want you becoming like them. You're a special child. You're created for a different purpose. But understand, because I have that interaction, because I have that rubbing of elbows, because I exist in the world, I'm not taken out of the world. Every single day there's going to be a soiling, and just as we're taught to take baths, to wash, to clean daily, I must have that daily cleansing in the Word of God. Remember, think about it. Turn to Ephesians 5, right? As the Lord is talking, as he's, and people use this, and talking about the relationship of a husband with wife, but he says the more central issue here is the relationship of Christ to the church. But in Ephesians 5, he says to husbands, as he encourages them or commands that we love our wives as Christ loved the church, he says these words: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by what? By the word. By the word. Turn to John 15, if that's not enough. In John 15, in speaking to his disciples, Jesus says, beginning at verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or my Father is the gardener. I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then in verse 3, hear it very carefully. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He goes on, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. But again, now ye are clean. What cleanses us, what gives us that daily cleansing, is the word of God. I need to be washed. I need to be cleansed of the world's filth, of the world's philosophy, of the actions of the world. I need the word of God to come in and remove the garbage as a good washing of clothes does, with a detergent solution does. I want my soul, I want my life to be washed of the filth of the world, so that I may minister before God, so that he can work through me, so that I am effective in ministry, so that I bear fruit, but even more so that I recognize him as God, so that I recognize he is the Lord. And so, washed in the blood, washed in water, washed in the blood, washed with the word, and then really wait. And when I say wait, you know, people like that, right? What you doing? Waiting on the Lord, man, just waiting on the Lord to do something, you know, to call me, then I'll do get started, right? That's the way some people think, but that's not really it. I don't know if you've ever seen a sporting event, a track event, and where they say to the runners, they say, on your mark. And they come. That's right. On your mark. Get set. Go! Ah. And that's exactly what it is. You see, I've been to the training. I've practiced day after day and week after week. I've read the rules. I understand the sports. I've eaten the things that I should eat. I've taken care of my body. And now it's time for the race. On your mark, get set. I'm at the set position so that as God says, what? Go. I go. I go. There's a hazard. There's a hazard of uncleanness. There's a hope of healing, of spiritual healing in him. But then I need to point out something, and this is very simple. The issue is, again, if it's not clear, the holiness of God. The holiness of God. You're not to profane my name. And when he says the issue is holiness, the first thing is he is holy. He is holy. And so you don't, you know, as some think that I can come and I can offer anything to God. He says, no, you don't offer anything. Just as when they sacrificed an animal, it had to be what? When the sacrifice was for sin, it had to be what? It had to be perfect. Perfect. And if I come to God offering less than my best, I'm profaning his name. I'm treating him as if he's common. But he is holy. He says, I am the Lord. But not only is he holy, his house is holy. In the scriptures, so often the Gentiles are used to present those who are unsaved or sinners outside, really, the commonwealth of Israel, outside, if you will, of salvation. And so there were certain places in the scriptures where Gentiles could not go in terms of the house of God. And then there were other places, right, in the tabernacle, in the temple, that only the priests could go. Only those who were classified as priests could go. And then there was a place in the temple where only what? Only the high priest could go. His house is holy. He is holy. His house is holy. And again, in verses 1 and 2 and 3, he says, look, do not profane me in the things that are dedicated, the things that are hallowed. The things that are made holy. And they are made holy because they have been dedicated to God. Once something has been dedicated, given to God, understand, it is holy. Period. Why is that important? Many of us have dedicated things to God. Some of us have dedicated cars to God. Some of us have dedicated our homes to God. We've dedicated our jobs, our careers to God. We've dedicated our very lives to God. The question is, did I do it with my lips? Or did I do it practically and honestly with my heart? Hear me. If I've dedicated my car to God, then no, I didn't take that car and drive to places that the Lord would not want me to go. Do I let people borrow it to do things that God would not want them to do? If my home is dedicated to God, then do I allow people into my home and to do things that they should not do? Do I allow certain entertainment into my home to infiltrate my mind, the mind of my children? My home is holy. I've dedicated it to him. Do I let people live in my home and do things that God would not be pleased with? Am I serious? I've dedicated my children to the Lord. Do I put before them things that God would not be pleased with? Do I teach them that it's more important, right? to be good in sports than it is to know God. So often, I will tell you, I've been in church after church, and I'll hear, and I just heard it last week as we were visiting a church. One of the deacons or leaders of the church, well, my granddaughter hadn't been here several weeks because she's been playing basketball. What am I saying? What's king? Is it sports? Is it basketball? Or is it God? He's holy. I need to finish. Just as the children of Israel were called to be, were God's chosen people, they were chosen to show the world that He is Lord. That He is only Lord. And there were signature events in the life of the children of Israel, just as there are signature events in our lives. And one of these signature events, as if you'll look again back in Leviticus, the 22nd chapter, one of these signature events, the last two verses there, he says, in verse 32, "Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." What he's saying to them is, I am the Lord, and I am that very Lord that delivered you out of the house of bondage, that delivered you from Egypt, that brought you through the Red Sea. I am that Lord. I'm God. And I don't know, but maybe the Lord is saying to us this morning, I am the Lord. See, I am the Lord who first created you, and I created you in my image. And understand something. There's this debate about capital punishment, whether it's good or not. God instituted that initially. You see, in the scriptures it says, "Whoso shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? He says, "For he was created in the image of God." And it is not so much necessarily that you're taking away a life that you cannot replace and that life is precious, but life is precious because this is a body, this is a soul, this is a person created in the image of God. And how dare you destroy something that was created in the image of God? I am the Lord. I am the Lord who saves you. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. I am the Lord who called you, who convicted you of your sin and your need for salvation. I am the Lord who will one day come back for you and to reward every man according to his works. I am the Lord. He's holy. Do not profane his name. What would happen, my friends, if each of us, understanding the holiness of God and the holy calling on our lives, would walk in that daily cleansing, doing what he would have us to do? How effective could we be, or would we be, in ministry? And what kind of a relationship would we then have with our Lord, with our God? Say this and I'm done. We think about Isaiah and his call to ministry out of Isaiah 6, right? As he was shown a vision of the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, as he was shown the glory of God, his response was, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm in trouble. I'm in the deepest distress. My sin. Woe is me. My sin is great. I'm vile. Lord." And not just my sin. Not only am I a vile sinner, oh God, but those around me, their sin also infects me. Have I gone to the Lord crying out about my sin, asking God to cleanse me. Oh, God, you make me fit. Oh, God, you prepare me to minister about your holy things. You, Lord, prepare me to share the gospel, Lord, to these children, to my family. Oh, God, to my co-workers, you, Lord, make me usable. You cleanse me. What would happen? The question is, where am I? Where's my heart? What's my attitude about God? Is it like the teen's girlfriend who was two-timing him? Am I two-timing God? What do I mean by that? Somebody said in class about sports, they didn't have time for God because of sports, and they thought that was okay. And they had to be told, look, if you've got time for basketball and you don't have time for God, who are you really serving? What am I saying about what's really important to me? If I'm not making myself available to God, if I'm not allowing God to search me and to cleanse me daily, so that daily, not just on Sunday morning, not just once a month, not just once a year, but daily, I'm cleansed so that God can use me. What really am I saying? Where truly are my affections? Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. And Father, we pray, Lord, that it is your word that would be remembered, your truth, Lord. And Father, we do pray that you would convict us, Lord. Oh God, that we would bow down to you. Oh Lord, realizing, Lord, our sad state, our need, Lord, for cleansing. Oh God, so that we could see you clearly, Lord, in your holiness. And Father, so allow you to cleanse us so that we, Lord, can be used by you. Lord, for those here who don't know you, who are yet, Lord, in their sin, we pray, Father, that you would draw them to you, that they would surrender their heart to you for salvation, and, Lord, be made disciples. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. We pause for a moment. There may be some here who don't know the Lord, and we give you that opportunity. If you need to be cleansed from sin, if you need to be delivered from eternal death, if you're on your way to hell and God has spoken to your heart and you know that you need a Savior, you know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He provides through His shed blood, we give you this opportunity. Won't you come now? And if not, let's stand and close. Lord, bless and keep us, Lord, as we go from here. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you, Lord, would be with us, Lord, that you would cause your face to shine upon us, Lord, that you would bless us truly, Lord, with the truth of your word. Bless us, Lord, with our close relationship with you. Lord, a relationship, Lord, and a testimony, Lord, that impacts the world. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray, Father. Amen. God bless you.